Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Welcome once more to the GAA Hour here on Sports Joe. Be sure to repost any of our content as it's so important to help us grow. Give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening in on and tell your friends about us as well. Dan Casey here with you, and we have a very special edition of the GAA Hour this week. We have Offaly's own superstar Adam Screeny coming up on the show, and we'll get into a few results besides the Cork one, of course, a little later on. But to the biggest slash second biggest clash of the weekend, depending on what you fancy, Gaelic or hurling, we had, of course, Clare versus Limerick in Cusack Park, where those Limerick villains ran out 3-15 to 18-point victors over the Banner. And yesterday, I got the opportunity to head to Croke Park to interview Limerick's man of the match, Garrod Hegarty. We chatted the Clare game, the Munster Championship, the team holiday, Scotty Scheffler, and much more in this clip. Enjoy.
Well, Garrod, how have you recovered since yesterday?
Probably not great, no, to be honest with you at the moment, but we'll get there. We'll get there over the next couple of days. But yeah, the day after is always tough, first couple of hours. But as the week goes on, you'll get better and better. You know what I mean? As the week goes on, looking forward to going training now tomorrow night, getting back into the swing of things and preparing for Sunday. But you're always a little bit happier after a win. You're always able to deal with the soreness a little bit better once you get the win, you know what I mean? So, all's good.
What does a recovery look like at inter-county level, especially when the games are coming so thick and fast? Is it a bit of relaxed in video analysis stuff, or is it still balls to the wind the whole time?
We'll do a little bit of training. We won't go mad this week, because the main emphasis will be on just recovering as best you can, you know what I mean? But, yeah, you said it yourself, just relaxing, making sure that you're eating well and sleeping well and doing the basics right, you know what I mean? I might try to get a bit of a swim in there on the way home, all right, but that'd be pretty much it, just sleeping and eating as best you can and relaxing, take your mind off things and come back to work, I suppose, in the morning for the rest of the week and getting on with the day job, you know what I mean? And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Is it teacher? Is there any unfortunate Clare lads in the class?
Secondary school? No, there isn't. No, I'm in Newcastle West there in Limerick, so right in the heart of Limerick, so they're grand. They're the finest. Yeah, no, there'll be no slagging. They're all Limerick people, so I'll be all right. There might be a couple of people, Clare staff, no, all right, but I know it's all good. Correct yourself
too. Yeah. What subjects do you teach?
Business and accounting and a bit of maths.
Was that something you always wanted to be? Was a teacher?
It was. It wasn't really. No, until I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Even when I started college, to be honest, I was kind of a slow burner in terms of finding my way in life, but I suppose my girlfriend Eve probably had a massive influence on me. She was in a teaching course when I met her when we were in college, and I always liked the idea of teaching, but I never committed to it. And you know, when I met her, she was going down the teaching route, and as I said, I always had an interest in it, but I didn't know where I wanted to go, and that probably had a big influence on me, you know. And I'm happy out now with them. Thank God I'm happy in what I did. It took me 6 years to become a teacher. I do a master's in UL after my undergrad, you know. But I suppose it doesn't matter how long it takes once you're happy in what you're doing, and I am, so.
Suits the GA lifestyle. And did you always have a graph for numbers, business and accounting?
I always enjoyed when I was in school I always loved, my favourite subjects were maths, business and history, you know what I mean? So I love reading about history, and I'm obviously teaching maths and business during the day, you know, so yeah, they were always kind of my things that I enjoyed the most.
Well, what's your favourite part of history outside of it in Limerick too?
I love reading up on the World Wars, and I love reading up on the Troubles in Ireland, and, you know, things that went on. You know, reading books on stuff, things that you don't really know a whole lot about, and you're reading interesting books about things that happened 30, 40 years ago in Ireland, which isn't a long time, and, like, you know, just stuff like that. You know, I find it very interesting, you know.
Talk a bit about hurling. What do you reckon about the state of refereeing in the country at the moment? Do you think it's in a healthy place or unhealthy?
I think we have this discussion every year where there's a load of emphasis on how the referees ref stuff during the league. Firstly, what I always say is they have an impossible job. They can't keep everybody happy. But as the season goes on, I always find that there's less talk about referees. Seems to be massive talk about them when we start the championship because of things that go on in the league. And then as the year goes on, people just forget about it and get on with it. And in fairness to them, they're only doing their best themselves. They absolutely can't keep everybody happy. It's almost impossible. The less spoken about the referee the next day, I suppose, nearly the better job that they did. You know what I mean? But these things iron themselves out, you know, as the year goes on, without a doubt. Like, they're only doing their best as well, you know. And as the year goes on, there's less and less talk about the referees and more talk about the matches, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, not that I'm in favour now of anything, but people are calling for, like, a VAR style in GA. Would you be fair
against
it?
I would hate it. I'm a big soccer fan. I find VAR just the most draining, horrible thing that's ever been introduced into soccer. I actually stopped watching soccer for a while, to be honest with you, when VAR came in originally, because I just find it so draining and boring when you're waiting for the VAR and then they're splitting hairs over a centimetre here, a centimetre there. I absolutely cannot stand it. I think it's something the GAA should absolutely never go down the line of. It's not what the game was developed on. The game was developed on, you know, it's almost impossible. Somebody told me, I didn't watch the game last night, but they mentioned 8 or 10 different camera angles to see whether someone was in the square yesterday. Like, if we go down that line of things, I'd lose a lot of interest in it, as I did in soccer for a while. I think they're coming out the other side of VAR now, where they're handling a little bit better, but I hate it, to be honest with you, so no.
Yeah, they spend more time talking about the VAR than they'll actually do analysing the game and Sky Sports and things like that. Who'd you support in soccer?
Liverpool, for my sins.
Well, Klopp leaving. I mean, did you think you were going to be in a Europa League final?
I did. I can't believe today. All my friends are United fans, but most of them on the Limerick panel are United fans, and most of the lads I went to school with, who I'm still really friends with, they're all United fans. And I remember the day that he was leaving, I was in class, and I came out of class. I was in a 6-year business double class on a Friday morning. And I came out of class, and I was walking back up to the staff room, and one of the lads had texted in going, Klopp is leaving. He's a massive United fan. And I just assumed that it was a piss take. So I still can't believe he's gone. But look, if he wasn't going this season, be a massive success for Liverpool with how well they're contending in the Premier League. Okay, the European campaign ended on a bad note the other night, but this was supposed to be a so-called transition season, if there ever was one, you know, with the amount of players that left last season coming in this season. It'd be a great season if he wasn't going, but the fact that he's going, obviously there's added pressure on try to win the league. Long way to go, but they're under pressure. They're under pressure, definitely.
Who do you think will be in the new manager?
I don't actually know. I've no idea. I genuinely have no idea. I kind of wanted Xavi Alonso purely because he was there before, but I don't know. I have no idea. I genuinely have no idea. I still haven't processed that he's leaving. You know,
I'll go, I suppose, switch back to hurling again, flip flop as I do. But that drive for five, how much of a influence is that on the change room? I know the media answer is, oh, we don't think about it. But surely that's something must be peddled by Kylie and in the dressing room.
It's not necessarily that we don't think about it. Like, we don't shy away from these things. We always talk about the narratives that exist out there. We reference it at the start of the year in our pre-season meeting and stuff like that. But, like, you park it. Like, you just have to park things like that. You got to move on from them. You got to just say, okay, we've talked about it. It is going to exist for the rest of the year. That is fine. You know, the media are going to talk about it. A lot of supporters, everyone, Limerick supporters are mad to talk about the fighting role. And that's okay. But as a team, like, we reference it, it's parked, and then you get on with the important things. Like, it's not important at all in terms of what we do when we go to training every night. When you're going to Ennis yesterday morning, you're most certainly not thinking about 5-0. You're thinking about the battle that's ahead. You're constantly thinking about the challenge that's in front of you. You are not thinking about down the line. Obviously, we're here in Croke Park videoing this. You're not thinking about getting here in the summer or anything like that at the moment. All at the moment you're trying to do is get enough points in Munster to get out of the group and go from there. And that's it. Genuinely.
After that, Kilkenny semi-final, we kind of saw Limerick we hadn't seen for quite some time. How did you go about building yourselves up after that one?
Yeah, that was disappointing. It's something that I've talked about already this morning, about how the second half in the league semi-final just got away from us and we didn't impact the game at all. It was very unusual to be out in the field during the game, that the game was slipping and slipping and slipping from us, and I suppose nobody, it was on us that nobody stood up and, you know, brought us back into the game by, you know, a bit of leadership, bringing us back into the game by delivering a big moment or anything like that. And, you know, thankfully yesterday, I suppose we got a couple of breaks along the way as well that helped that, but we didn't let the game slip away from us. I suppose it did feel that it was slipping away. For a lot of people, it did feel it was slipping away, but we hung in there as best we could. And when we got, when momentum shifted and we got on a bit of a run, we got the most out of it, you know what I mean? So, like anything, you learn so much from a loss, you know, and we did learn a lot from the league semi-final loss, and you know, we put that into action yesterday and thankfully we come out the right side.
Was there a team holiday in between? Although I don't know, is it much of a holiday?
No, it wasn't a holiday. We were working, all right. Yeah, we went to Portugal, all right. But I'd say the weather would have been better off staying in Ireland. The weather was so bad in Portugal. Lash rain for the whole week, you know what I mean? But look, it was still lovely to get away for a couple of days there. We were actually on midterm break when we got away from school. So it was lovely, but we didn't get the weather we wanted, but we still got a good bit of work done, you know what I mean? But it definitely wasn't a holiday.
Who are you rooming with?
Who was I rooming with? I was rooming with William Boylan and Barry Murphy. I was actually in the room with Barry Murphy.
Are they boys you want to be rooming with, or did you get a good draw there?
Yeah, I got a good draw. I was happy enough with that. No, I was happy enough with that. No, you'd be comfortable enough with anyone, to be honest with you. I've roomed a lot with William over the years, and William is tough going now. He's so, as I'm sure you can imagine from him, he's fairly full on, but I know, but listen, he's grand. No, Asher, you're the only thing when you're in the room, in the evening when you're going to bed. That's pretty much it. Like, bar that, we were playing a good bit of darts now. Myself and Peter Casey had loads of battles on the dartboard, or playing a bit of table tennis, playing a bit of pitch and putt. So there's plenty to be doing. You wouldn't be spending much time in the room.
Yeah. Did you ever hit a 180?
No, I haven't. Peter, no, unfortunately, I can't believe I'm complimenting him on camera, but he has hit a couple. No, I have never hit a 180. I'd love to hit one, though. I'd love to hit one. Peter, in fairness to Peter, I'm probably not the right size or shape for a darts player, whereas Peter is more so. He's more darts player body build. So
what do you mean by that?
I'll leave that up to your own interpretation.
Coming back to yesterday, and I mean, that Clare team is absolutely stacked. I know you're the All-Ireland champions and all that, but there was a sense that people were thinking Clare were going to get the win. Was that something that entered your psyche at all?
Of course it does. You always have to think about things that can go wrong. You look at the battles we've had with them over the years, gone to extra time a couple of times in the Munster finals, won by a point here, you know, won by a point there, beaten last year, you know, so you know it's going to be a 50-50 battle against Clare. As I said, when we were under massive pressure yesterday in the second half, we just had to hang in there and keep plugging away and waiting for the opportunities to rise, which they did, you know. But I always go back to last year's Munster Championship run, and something that I always love thinking about, like, beat Waterford by a point, I think, in the first game, maybe two, lost the next day out by a point or two with Clare, drew a tip, won, beat Cork by a point over the four group games. We might have been level or maybe down a point or up a point in terms of scoring difference across the four games, you know, and if that's not an encapsulation of the toughness of the Munster Championship, then what is, you know what I mean? So
it seemed to mean an awful lot to you. I mean, the celebrations after were fairly joyous. You're just happy to get over the line against them.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, of course we were. Like, it's very difficult going to having an away game in the Munster Championship is a very difficult challenge, but it's a challenge that we relished yesterday, going down to Ennis for the first round of the Munster Championship in beautiful weather. But it's immensely satisfying just to win the game, get 2 points, and know you've put yourself in a great position. You know what I mean? Because it's such a tough championship to get out of. I know 3 teams out of 5 is 60% that gets out of the Munster Championship, but like, every single game is so hard fought and so hard to win that it's just knowing that you have delivered and 75-80 minutes of hard hurling and that you've come out the right side of it is immensely satisfying. That's why you do all the hard training. And you know, you have to celebrate these wins. If you don't celebrate these small wins, well then, you know, what are we doing here, you know?
Yeah, there was a bit of a sense of who's going to stop us now, maybe?
No, I don't think so. I think last year we played poorly against Waterford in the first round, and then we were beaten by Clare. So after 2 games, we had 2 bad performances. We did have 2 points out of 4, but we were in a weird spot. Whereas, although we didn't play brilliantly yesterday and we've loads to work on, it's a great start and it gives us a great opportunity this weekend, again, going into the Tipperary game to hopefully try to get 4 points on the board and be in a good spot going into the break this year as opposed to last year. But it was job done on the day, And now it's, we'll review it tomorrow night, but after that it'll be parked and it'll be, you know, moving on to Tipperary.
It seems to be a bit of a trait with the Limerick team. You talked about it yourself earlier, you were hurling better as the year progressed, yeah. We'll say. And usually that seems to be, everyone's talking about, oh, only time to get Limerick out is in Munster, and they get stronger as they get to the final. Would you go along with that and say the team as a whole gets stronger as you get to that close for all of your final?
I think everybody gets stronger as the year goes on, though. Like, that's the nature of the hurling championship. Like, everybody is going to improve game on game. That's the plan anyway for everybody, you know what I mean? Everybody, you play a game, you want to learn from your mistakes and improve on them, you know what I mean? So everybody tries to get better game on game. I think we've been really good at it over the years. Obviously we've been lucky to get out of the Munster Championship and go from there, but you know, everybody wants to get better after every game. Like, you know, you learn a lot from a loss. You try and learn, even when you win, you try and learn from things that you didn't do really well, and there was loads of stuff we didn't do well last year. So we've plenty to work on tomorrow night, plenty of, I'm sure, the review tomorrow night won't be easy viewing a lot of it, you know what I mean? Looking at the first 50-55 minutes won't be easy viewing, but that's the nature of the Munster Championship, that you have to try and improve on your little weaknesses and keep going with your strengths, you know. So
what is it about Limerick, though? It just seems so inevitable. Is that a steal laid in by John in the player group, or a mix of both?
In terms of hanging in there and getting it. Yeah, I think it's the panel that we have. Like, we've massive confidence in the boys coming off the bench, you know what I mean? Like, that we know that the lads coming off the bench are going to actually lift us rather than the quality or our level dropping, that we know when the boys come on with 15, 20 minutes to go that they're actually going to lift us, you know what I mean? And it's not a cliche, or it's not something that we just, it's not a throwaway comment. We genuinely do have so much confidence in the 36 lads that we have training. We obviously have 35 training at the moment. Dara's doing a little bit of rehab with his calf at the moment, which has been talked about, but like, we're lucky to have 35 lads fit and flying it at the moment. And you know, there's an unbelievable battle for the 26 man panel going to every single championship game, and that's the way it has to be.
And when it was getting in the mix there, and you hear over the speaker, Tony Kelly is coming on, the roar goes up, was like Stone Cold Steve Austin return.
Yeah, it was a massive roar in fairness. Well, yeah.
What are you thinking then? But the game kind of seemed to go in your favour after.
Yeah, I haven't watched the game back yet, which I will probably do hopefully this evening. But yeah, they were obviously in a great position when he came on. I don't even know what the score was, or I don't know when at what time of the frame was. So all I do remember thinking I was in the right half forward spot at that time he was coming on beside me, and there was a huge roar. And look, but they're the moments you want to be in, you know what I mean, with those massive roars. I remember going to games as a kid. I remember being here in 2007, funny enough, looking out on the field there when the Limerick team ran out in the field in the All-Ireland final in 2007, just thinking to myself, that is the most incredible roar I've ever heard in my life. And like, I'd love to be in that position one day, that I could be out in the field hearing that roar. And like, we can't take for granted that I'm now in that position, and we're in that position, and we're the people that are on the field with all the kids looking on nowadays, hearing those roars yesterday in Ennis. And it was just a privilege to be involved in the game. And as I said, they're the days that you want to be involved in all the time. You know, I wish we could have games like that every single week.
Well, look, we'll get it over the way. Were they square balls?
Were they square balls? I don't know. I'm giving an Alex Ferguson answer here, but as I said, I haven't actually watched the games back yet, so I don't know. We're probably getting into the VAR side of things there, like, you know what I mean. I'd always give the advantage to the attacker. Obviously, that's biased coming out of me because I am an attacker. But were they? You tell me. Were they? I don't know.
They were. Were they? The second one definitely. First one a bit more dubious.
Okay. Well, look, there you go. We definitely got a couple of breaks that went our way yesterday. But you need them. You need them in Munster Championship. When you know there's only going to be a couple of points either way, you need a couple of breaks to go your way. And we probably did get lucky with a couple of them. But look, that's the way it goes. Yesterday, we got them. Yesterday, we mightn't get them next week. You know, so you got to roll with the punches at times.
You got a nice assist there as well. Do you reckon Limerick have set the bar in terms of not just hurling, obviously, but strength and conditioning as well? Everyone talks about Limerick being the most physical team out there, the biggest team going.
I don't know. I don't feel like that today after how sore you'd be after championship games. But I think everybody. I think the level of professionalism in the GAA nowadays, there isn't a whole lot in difference between strength and conditioning across the different teams. I think everybody's at an incredible level of strength and conditioning, and everybody's doing the same training. Like, you know, the gym programs are the gym programs. I'm sure if you looked at the gym program for our team compared to other teams, they'd be pretty much the exact same thing. So everybody's doing the same.
But it's just that last quarter with Limerick that you just blow teams away.
Again, I think it comes back to more so the confidence that we have in our squad. You know what I mean? That we do have, like, it's so, I don't know, people probably don't realise how hard it is. 70, 75, 80, it's probably nearly the bones of 80 minutes hurling nowadays when you're out in the field, how tough it is there coming down the stretch and how tired you would be. So, like, that's the importance of the lads coming off the bench, and we talk about it all the time, but they're the ones that drive you over the line, like they're the finishers, as we call them, and, you know, they're the ones, again, that drove us over the line yesterday and got us out of a hole even in the first place and then drove us over the line, so they have a massive impact.
What's your favourite gym exercise?
Oh, well, I can tell you probably deadlift, maybe, I suppose. Yeah, deadlift,
yeah.
Actually.
What are you deadlifting at the moment?
We have good old battles there now on the deadlift. I'm not at the top, is all I'd say. Shawnee Finn is probably at the top of the deadlift side, but I'm in close pursuit of him, but... yeah, he's the one with Optimum Nutrition, I suppose, to give him a shout out. That's why he's sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. So he's the one we're chasing in the gym at the moment. Yeah.
You mentioned the football, obviously. Any other sports you're big into?
Yeah, golf. Just watching the Masters there last week. Love watching the golf. Love playing a bit of golf. Won't get out on the golf course now this week. Just in case you're watching this, John, I won't be out on the golf course this week. But
do you full access to their manager? Surely, no.
I wish we did. No, I'm a member in Castroy. Golf club there, so might get out there in the break maybe after this weekend, hopefully, looking forward, because obviously now we're kind of, as Damien Lawler said to me there a while ago yesterday, it was like the introduction of summer for this year with the start of the Munster Hurling Championship, so definitely looking forward to getting a bit of golf in now over the next couple of weeks and months. But I'd watch anything, to be honest. I'd watch anything.
Any other athletes you kind of admire outside of hurling?
I think what Scotty Scheffler is doing at the moment in golf is incredible. Like, he's the only person he's been compared to at the moment is Tiger, and anytime you're being compared to Tiger as a golfer, you must be doing something extraordinary, and he is certainly extraordinary at the moment. Again, he's leading this week in the RBC Heritage that they're playing at the moment. It was delayed last night, so I think it's the finishes today, but, like, you know, some of the stuff he's doing at the moment, when you're being compared to Tiger, and some of your records of the streak that he's on at the moment, is the only person that has possibly beaten him over the last number of years is Tiger, you know. So he's getting into that conversation now where he's starting to do Tiger-like things. So I think that's unreal. I love watching, like, he was favourite for the Masters. Now, he was big favourite for the Masters, and obviously all the pressure, the majority of the pressure would have been on him to go out and perform and win the Masters as massive favourite. And he did. And I love that. Like, yeah. I love when the guy with all the pressure on him goes out and performs to the best of his ability and blows everybody away. Like, he destroyed him. Like,
you've been doing it long enough.
Yeah, well, I love watching competitors like that dealing with the high expectations and then delivering on that pressure, you know. So I think I love watching Scheffler at the moment, yeah, for sure.
And the Munster Championship, the greatest championship in the world?
Yeah, I think so. I always thought the Ulster Football Championship could have been the standard bearer for a long time, but it's probably a conversation between the two of them in an Irish setting, but I think the Munster Hurling Championship is just, it's absolutely incredible. Every single game is must watch, every single game is going to go down to the wire, and you know, that's the definition of a brilliant championship, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. Gerard Hegarty, thanks, Mel.
Lovely stuff.
Appreciate
Thank
it, Mel.
Thank you.
Thanks a million to Gerard for his time. I was sure to soak up the day in Croker, as it'll probably be the only Cork man in the stadium for the year. The ref's halftime whistle has gone and it is time to head into the tunnel. But we have a superb second half lined up with Adam Screeny on the line as we speak. Don't go anywhere.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Just like Limerick, we're going to blow ye away now in the second half. As on the line, we have one of hurling's brightest stars, Offaly's Adam Screeny. Adam, thank you so much for taking our call. How are you, sir?
Good, and yourself, Dan?
Not too bad. What's the recovery looking like after that Laois game?
Ah, sure. It's all quiet at the minute. not the result we expected or wanted, but we'll get over and move again.
Well, you'd quite the performance yourself, Adam. It was eight points, four from frees, four from play. Were you happy with it?
I suppose it was. Championship debut, but I suppose I can do nothing with the ball unless the lads out the field get it to me.
That is true indeed. That is true indeed. What are Offaly's biggest strengths, do you feel, at the moment? I know it's probably hard to talk about after a loss now.
Yeah, it's not easy. I suppose our strengths, good group there at the minute. Good mix between young and experience, I suppose. It's just trying to gel the two of them together now. And it's really a do or die game at the weekend. If we win, we'll march on. If we don't, we'll sort of be playing to avoid relegation, I suppose.
Is Johnny's plans running into the ground during the week, or what's going to be the situation there?
I don't know now, to be honest. We're training tonight, so we'll
you'll shortly find out.
We'll take it by day.
And I suppose yourself for the Westmeath game, you'll surely be starting for that one. Will you be hoping for a starting place anyway? No, you can't.
Yeah, sure. You're always hoping for a starting place, but sure, you never know. Anything could happen, so I suppose we'll know come Saturday.
And I suppose in that leash match, Adam, it seemed like he grabbed defeat from the jaws of victory anyway, at least going off the match reports. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, we were just there and pipped at the end, I suppose.
And I caught you had a good time today. Now you were in college for the day. Are you in UL? Would I be correct in saying?
Yeah, I'm in UL. I was busy all day. There are exams coming up in May, so.
Busy now or busy?
I looked busy.
That's the stuff, sure. That's what you have to do. What's it like being in college and balancing the intercounty lifestyle?
Yeah, it's difficult, but it's very enjoyable down in college, meeting players from different counties and getting to play with them then during the winter. But it's interesting getting to meet new players and seeing how their trainings work and how their different counties are working compared to your own.
Would you be getting the inside scoop in some of the bigger counties?
I wouldn't get any insights now, but I'd get the very basics.
That's the stuff. What are you studying in college?
I'm doing arts.
Is that just something you put down on the CAO, or is it something you actually want to go after?
Well, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, so I thought that was the safest option. 30 hours a week. So.
I think that's what most people who do arts end up doing. What do you hope to get out of, or as a full-time career? I know you're intercounty now, so it'll be what, teacher, guard, car salesman, that type of thing.
Maybe a teacher, sure. We'll see how it goes.
And what do you like about the arts? Are you enjoying it at the moment anyway?
No, very enjoyable now. I'm studying maths and economics down there, and it's very enjoyable. It's a great college to be in, loads of things to do, so no, it is very enjoyable.
Maths and economics, you're a good man with the numbers, so you are.
Well, I like to tell myself I am, I'm not sure.
That's the stuff. I didn't think the hurlers now would be too on the maths-economics side, but fair enough.
Wow.
Is there any other interest, Adam, you have outside of hurling or the games in general then?
I like playing golf.
Like most hurlers now, are you handy at it?
Very average now, to be honest. Very average.
Good at the hurling, less so at the golf.
Exactly.
And is that just because of Shane Lowry, or is it an awfully thing?
No, it's just I enjoy playing it in your spare time. I suppose you have to get to do something in your spare time, like hurling at the minute. It's very busy. So it's good to get downtime and just go relax and play a few holes with your friends.
You're shooting off a handicap at the moment?
Yeah, I'm playing off 10 at the moment. So
happy about that?
We'll hope to get it down now.
I'm sure you will. I see an old dartboard in the background as well. I was talking to Garrod earlier. He mentioned it as well. Is that another thing with hurlers? They love golf and the darts.
This is the tournament for my club. A couple of lads my age come over and we play a tournament in my bedroom in darts. You like to think it's the Ali Pally.
Is that because of the Luke Littler effect, or was it he had an interest anyway?
Oh, I think the Luke Littler effect got us as well.
I think it got everyone. And is there any other athletes that you admire from other sports, be it golf, the darts?
Well, at the minute, you definitely have to admire Scheffler, the way he's able to keep going at the level he's going. He's really, he's like prime Tiger at the minute. No one can seem to stop him.
Funnily enough, Garrod said the exact same thing as you. Scheffler and the Tiger comparison.
He's quite the athlete at the minute to be able to stay going at the level he's going.
Well, back to the hurling anyway, Adam. And what way do you see hurling nationally? at the moment?
Yeah, it's obviously it's going well. It's gone very professional at the minute. A lot of hours put in that people don't get to see for GAA players, whether it be travelling to training and back, doing your own bit. To be honest, I'd say there's definitely an intercounty hurler doing something every day to benefit himself in hurling. And people don't see that. They only go to see the matches at the weekend. So it is it's a very thankless job, really, doing all the training. And
yeah. Not to insult you, you know, but is that going to create a bigger divide between the bigger counties like your Limerick, Clare, Tip, and then Offaly?
Could. You don't really know. But still, every county is trying to keep the professionalism there, whether to be at the top table or not, that everyone wants to be there, you know.
Has strength and conditioning become a priority in Offaly, Adam? I mean, look, let's face it, look at your team, and physically you're probably a lot smaller than a lot of the bigger counties out there.
Yeah, no, definitely. Strength and conditioning is huge now at the minute, especially with injuries, and some things relate back to strength and conditioning that they're not doing enough of. But yeah, I mean, I was with the under-20s the last 2 years, and strength and conditioning has been big for us. Well, obviously, you're not going to make a weightlifter out of me, but we have a couple of big men. But it's to get the match, really, and it's to be strong in your own body, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Being strong and fit in your own body.
Yeah, and what are you lifting in the weight room at the moment? What's your favorite gym exercise?
My favorite exercise is hurling.
You're a lovely wristy hurler now, in fairness, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
You benching it in big at the moment?
No, not a whole lot. Not a whole lot, unfortunately.
You're like myself, so. And I mean, as a 19-year-old, Adam, I suppose, I mean, you're basically semi-professional, whether you are or aren't, or whatever the situation is there. Like, even things like diet, like, are you looking at that at 19 years of age? You know, when I was 19, it was potatoes, chicken rolls, goujons. Like, I mean, not that it's far off from that now, but what is your diet looking like? Is it all salmon and plain chicken?
Yeah, for me, actually, I have one of the easier diets. Is nutrition has a great job of trying to put weight on me, so it's...
You're allowed free rein.
Free rein, so, but I still have to... I'm drinking 2 shakes a day, and you can be full some nights going to bed, sleep sitting up. It's just all part and parcel of the plan. Like, you could have to eat 4 meals a day, snacks, shakes, but I suppose you do it because you love it, really.
Yeah, what's Adam Screeny's favourite meal? Apart from, don't be looking after yourself here now, give us your favourite.
Well, my game day meal is pancakes. So I have pancakes every morning for a game.
Maple syrup on those, bacon, what are we talking?
We'd go with Cadbury's chocolate and strawberries.
For the sugar intake, is that it?
I'm not sure, the nutritionist wasn't that happy now when I said that, but it is what it is. It's whatever works for yourself.
I was full sure you were going to say the yogurt or something for to keep the Glenex boys happy.
No, well, you didn't. I'm happy as well. Great sponsors there.
the fridge stocked of it inside, I'd say.
Yes, exactly.
Going back to that under-20 championship last year, I mean, the famous final against Cork. But just talk about the atmosphere, first of all, on that day. Like, what a great occasion that one seemed.
Yeah, absolutely huge, especially for everyone in Offaly, obviously. Haven't experienced success in a while. So the minute there was a small bit of success, everybody wanted to travel. But no, to be honest, at the start of the year, we weren't expecting much. And as the more the year went on, the better we started feeling, and just got on the winning streak and kept going, really.
What's your plans coming into this year now? Just ultimately win Joe McDonagh?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. And I'm still on 2 years under 20, so it'd be really nice to get to the Leinster final, maybe, or if we're lucky enough.
That certainly would be a nice one. Think a competition like Joe McDonagh is a great thing?
I think it is, to be honest, because when you go down there, you want to get out of it and you want to get into the Leinster Championship, but still, I don't think there's really a point of, say, the weaker teams going out and playing the likes of Kilkenny that were in the All-Ireland last year. And
I mean, sure, you saw what happened to him against Antrim, like, it was a 5-30, I think it was.
Yeah, 30 to 14 points. But it's amazing what them top teams can do once it comes to championship.
Were you watching the games at the weekend?
I got to see highlights of them all, but I didn't actually get to see them. I was too busy in college.
Oh yeah, of course you are. The Clare Limerick one, what did you make of that?
Yeah, looked like Clare were well on top. But again, Limerick are champions and they're always going to be hard beat. And it's going to take a very good team to beat them, I think, again this year.
Do you think as you alluded to there, do you think they just are the best group? Do you think they're the greatest team of all time is what I'm trying to spit out here?
It's debatable, I suppose. The game has moved on. So back in the 2000 era, it was Kenny, obviously.
Cork were up there now as well.
Yeah, we were there.
We were there. Good answer.
But then, obviously, as the game has progressed, at the minute, Limerick are untouchable, really, at the minute. But I think since 3 or 4 years ago, there's teams getting closer and closer to them now than what they were.
Who's the best hurler in the country, besides yourself?
No, I'm far from it. At the minute, sure. Probably Keane Lynch, I'd say, just the way he's able to dictate the game. Like, he really dictates the pace of the game for no matter who they're playing against.
And just on that Limerick-Clare one, are you watching maybe the tactics side of it, or are you just enjoying the game? Like, as an inter-county hurler, are you able to enjoy the magic of it in the moment? Are you seeing, oh, this is what I would have done differently, or maybe he should have gone here, or what way are you looking at it?
No, for me, I'm sort of still like a child. I just sit down and watch the game and pick a team and shout for that team and see who wins. But I don't really look too much into them because I think hurling is all off instinct. Whatever you do yourself, there's only so much tactics you can go into. And I feel that Limerick play a good bit off instinct as well. It's not, although they look like they're playing to a certain system, I feel that they just have really good, hurlers at the minute and they're able to do it.
Yes, someone said to me outside the Cork Offaly game that hurling's being coached out of the players in the modern game. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I agree to disagree. So you obviously have to have a certain level of tactics and plans, but then again, you don't want to too much because then players, when they get the ball, they're only allowed to do certain things with it.
Yeah.
So I think there's certain tactics and plans allowed, but then, although you have to be able to hurl yourself as well.
You were talking about shouting for a team there and seeing what happens. Who are you shouting for in Cork versus Waterford?
Well, I can tell you most certainly, I definitely wasn't shouting for Cork.
You were only delighted.
Yeah.
Who do you think gets out of Munster?
For me, I think Clare, Limerick and Tip?
That Tip Waterford game should be a cracker. Well, I mean, sure, look, Adam, you know, they're all crackers at this stage anyway, to be fair.
Once championship comes around, everyone forgets about the league and it's just, you actually can't wait for the weekend to watch the games.
I mean, do you think that's an advantage that the Leinster teams have? Look, I've been shouting from the rooftops for long enough now at this stage anyway that Leinster teams have a fair advantage over the Munster ones because the Munster lads are all, you know, picking up injuries in the championship, dog eat dog, week in, week out. And, you know, Kilkenny and Galway can kind of put out secondary-ish teams. Not necessarily, you know, the B team, whatever, but they can change things around in their lineup and they're probably still going to get the win.
Yeah, again, I agree to disagree. Like, I don't think the bottom teams in Munster are that far off the middle-level teams in Leinster. I think hurling and Munster is a different game than hurling and Leinster. But I feel, again, when the top teams meet in the All-Ireland Championship, it seems to be tit for tat, so I don't think there's a whole lot between the top teams in both.
What differences do you think there are between the Leinster hurling and the Munster hurling?
Well, I think Munster's a good bit more open. I feel like you see more lads scoring on their own, per se, than Leinster hurling championship, and that's what people want to see. So again, when people are looking at that, you see people love watching the Munster championship because it's so open and it's not scrappy.
Do you think that suits the likes of an Adam Screeny, perhaps?
Yeah, probably. I would like to play there, but obviously I'll never get the chance.
Look, you can come down to Cork. We'll sign you on a 5-year contract. We'll get Sports Direct paper.
I think that'll be the bottom of my list now, to be honest with you.
Who would you sign for?
Oh, I wouldn't sign for anybody. No.
The faithful county, the faithful man from the faithful county, everybody. Fair play.
No.
And you do think, who do you think is the top three teams in the country then? You're going to say Limerick number one?
Yeah, I think it's Limerick, Kenny and Clare to me.
I would have said Clare were absolutely stacked coming into the weekend. And look, I did say on here that I thought Clare were going to beat them. And for all the world, it did look like it.
I thought the same myself. I thought Clare were very strong coming in, playing very well. Very good league campaign, obviously won the league. But it's just, it's different once you get the championship. Like, they're just different, Limerick are there.
And I mean, of course, they were square balls. And I mentioned it to Garrod anyway. He was completely against them. And I'd be against it myself now before anyone says anything. But VAR in hurling or Gaelic games, is that something you have any interest at all in?
No. I think that would ruin the game, to be honest. Because, again, at the end of the day, it's an amateur sport. People watch it for the enjoyment. So bringing in VAR and waiting 40 seconds and all, no.
But do you think, do you think referees should get more help from somewhere then?
Yeah, possibly. I think there should be more authority given maybe to umpires and linesmen.
Yeah.
Rather than say more help in the stand or anything. Like, I think it's very hard job as it is to be a referee. Very hard job to see everything that's going on. And again, it's an amateur sport. It's going to be mistakes made. Nobody minds a few mistakes, but it's just the main calls. They just have to be made. Like,
what about two referees, or is that just something totally off the wall? Because one lad will have his own ideas, and then another will have his other.
No, I think the one referee is okay. Just a bit more authority with linesmen and umpires.
Very good. And is there any rule changes you'd make to the game in general?
No, for me, I'm quite happy with it.
The perfect game.
Yeah, I think so, in my eyes anyway.
I'd say 2 points for a sideline though, no?
They're getting more common now, so if you start giving 2 points for them, everyone will be taking them.
That is true. Adam, that's all I have for you here anyway. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Right, brilliant stuff from Adam there to a few of the results now. And apart from Clare and Limerick, the other big game of the weekend, I guess, was Derry Donegal in Celtic Park. Well, at least I got one prediction right when I said Jimmy would have something up his sleeve. That one, of course, finished Derry 17 points, Donegal 4-11. Surely, that has to be the end of sweeper keepers in Gaelic football, at least in that fashion anyway. And there's surely no greater sight, though, than seeing a keeper panicking backwards as the ball goes over his head. People giving out stink about Oran Lynch. Now, the first one, he was poor, running in slow motion, it looked like, to be fair, back to the goal. But to persist with it has to be the fault of Hart there. Well, we sent our very own Junior B Things out to chat to the people of Ulster. Well, those going to the Cavan Tyrone game, at least, about the question, should goalkeepers always stay in their goals?
Now, is Jimmy back winning matches?
By the looks of things, he is now. He is winning games. I'm a bit of a Derry supporter myself, and I was very upset to see them lose yesterday.
Heartbreaking stuff.
But
why are you a Derry supporter?
Just for the crack.
It's a side job, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't stick to one job.
I'm a Cavan man at half, but I'm a Derry man on the outside. So,
when Cavan are gone, that's...
Yeah.
That's the next jump.
Now, after last night's antics, do you think goalies should be staying in the goal?
Yeah.
So we've seen the same against Monaghan as well. That's what brought Cavan to this game today. So
Paddy Lynch, the man, loving the keeper.
Somebody. Even Began can't do it.
No, he can't.
I don't think Began cared now, to be honest.
He's a bigger player ahead of him.
Yeah.
So you're saying that he didn't mind Monaghan getting put out so he could...
He was shite, by the looks of it. Didn't care.
Not a care in the world did he have. Not a bit.
Which county do you think produces the most arrogant fans?
Limerick.
Limerick.
Limerick. I would never have thought a Cav man would say Limerick.
Clare all the way. Come on, Clare.
Where did that come out of, Limerick?
Oh, bastard.
What surprise do you think we'll see in the football championship this year?
Oh, Cavan winning, Sam.
No, that would be a surprise.
It would.
A huge surprise now.
Cavan's going to win here today, and it's going to upset the whole things with his...
The whole apple cart is...
Yeah.
I'm more hopeful than I am anyway, once we're up to take it.
After the first few games you've seen so far, who do you think is going to be player of the year?
It's hard to pick, so
it's tough for now.
You had to put money on it.
Oh, I had to put money on it. Awesome. Player of the year, be Conor Callaghan.
Yeah,
Well, I'm going to stick to Cavan to say Paddy Lynch, I have faith in him this year.
Well, you need Cavan to do well if you're going to...
need Cavan to do very well.
What do you think is a typical Tyrone fan like?
An old man.
With a strong accent.
With a strong, strong accent. You can't understand what he's saying. And he's wearing an old retro jersey. So he's
and a box of Benson in the back pocket.
And a box of Benson in the... No, in the chest pocket. Chest pocket.
In the retro jersey.
Yeah. It's one stitched into it.
Custom job.
The last one. Ulster Football Championship or Munster Hurling Championship?
Oh, Jesus.
You know what? I'll have to go with the Munster Hurling.
Yeah.
It's surprising the amount of people are...
It's all right.
So Ireland's a better sport to watch, so it is.
Yeah.
More contact in it, more better playing, I think. Yeah. Better fitness.
Yeah. Seen a bit more of the first half there, it looked like
more skill.
We were watching the game and we were almost going to stay at home and not bother coming to this game.
Normally we're used to watching Limerick take over Clare, but it's nice to see Clare tip ahead for once.
Yeah.
Well, Limerick were winning.
Didn't even check the final score.
No, half time Clare was winning.
But towards the end, Limerick got three goals.
Ah, fuck, of course they did. Every fucking time. As soon as we stop watching.
they needed the Cavan support to.
That's it.
We stopped
the Cavan look, so it is. It's Cavan look.
Is Jimmy back winning matches?
Jimmy will win nothing. Tyrone will win the day. We'll beat Donegal next Sunday.
You'll put him in his place, will you?
This is a young Tyrone team, hey. That's an aging Donegal team. We'll wipe the floor. Unless Michael Murphy's playing next Sunday, Tyrone will win.
After last night's antics, do you think the goalie should stay in the goals?
Well, it's hard to know. If he comes out anymore, he'll be up beside our goalie.
The goalie, you stay between the posts. Hey, when I was growing up, that's all you do.
What about Niall Morgan? Does he have license to go?
Oh, let Niall go. He's like a horse. Hey, you want to let him go?
If he jumps anymore, he'll end up hitting the top of the goalpost.
Which county do you think produces the most arrogant fans?
Our most arrogant fans? It would have to be Derry.
I don't know why I think them Armagh. See, that's Cross Madeleine, hey? Arrogance.
In fairness, people from Cross Madeleine think that Armagh is the bee's knees. I disagree with that there, to be honest.
You're not the first person to say Armagh. Do you think there'll be...
Hey, would you get slobbered?
Do you think there'll be any more surprises? Like, what do you think is going to be the big surprise?
The big surprise is going to be Tyrone winning on Ireland, to be honest.
I'd say Tyrone, hey. The two Canavans inside, hey, they'll be hard stopped, hey.
Put the hay ball in low.
After the first few games that's happened this year, who do you think is going to be Player of the Year?
Player of the Year? Well, it'd be rude not to say Dara Canavan, but... If not, it'd be Paddy Lynch. We call him Podso.
Paddy Lynch? See, you're not the first person to say that you need Cavan to go very well for him.
That's it. Hey, anybody man of the match for Tyrone, he'd be an ex-player, I think, he'd be man of the match. Pascal Tianovan. He'd be abroad, Peters.
Yeah, that would be... what do you think is the typical Cavan fan like?
A typical Cavan fan? Order 10 Guinness and pay for 3.
That's aye, they're miserable. Cavan's miserable, aye. They're no money about the country.
They don't spend it.
No.
They don't spend it.
Their last one, Ulster Football Championship or Munster Hurling Championship?
Ulster Football Championship all day long.
Aye, that's a women's sports. Hurling's a women's sports. Aye, women.
We call that camogie up in Ulster.
Great stuff. Out of junior there. What a man. Few results now from the weekend. Sligo 14 points, Galway 1-13. Quite the scare that Padraic Joyce's men had there. In the Munster Football Championship, of course, Kerry 18 points, Cork 1-12. Daniel O'Mahony, by the way, just a quick word to him. Absolutely fantastic on Clifford. I mean, first 20-25 minutes, totally dominated the best player in the country in the football as well. And Munster Clare in the Munster final against Kerry. They beat Waterford 220-19 in Fraher Field. We have a bit of Chris Deering action. Derry 2-26, Tyrone 13 points, London 4-26, Sligo 12 points. And then we go Laurie Marr, Lancashire 120, Leitrim 225, Fermanagh 5-12, Cavan 3-18, Joe McDonough. We had Down 3-24, Meath 25 points. Connacht football on our Sunday. Roscommon beaten by rivals Mayo. 13 points, Roscommon 1-15, Mayo. Mayo surely delighted with that one, as we had Junior B things at this one, of course. What a cracker. Cavan 3-16, Tyrone 123. That was in Breffni, of course. Leinster Hurling Championship, the big one there, really. Wexford 121, Dublin 218, a draw. You'd still imagine Wexford get through in that third place in Leinster, but they have a habit of beating Kilkenny down through the years in Leinster the past while. So we'll see on that front. Galway beating Carlow 225 to 214. Pretty bit closer than anticipated, even, to be fair. Kilkenny 5:30, Antrim 13 points. That absolutely does nobody any favours. And of course, we have their Clare game. Limerick, Waterford 225. Cork 125. Just absolutely embarrassing. All my predictions, all everything, gone out the window. I see the message requests on my Instagram full, and I'm never going in there. I'm telling you that now. But yeah, that was just a horrific, horrific day to be a Rebel fan. Where do Cork go from here? Playing Clare at home on Sunday now. Huge game for both these sides. Do or die for both of them. I can't see Cork getting past this Clare side, unless it really mentally affects Clare the way they lost to Limerick. I can't see Cork up to much come this weekend. Hoggy, I've been lauding him so much on this podcast and everywhere the past while. Very poor. Conor Lehan, very poor. Seamus Harnedy, quite poor. Probably the best out of those three that played in the 2013 All-Ireland, but still very disappointing with the young guns of Shane Barrett and Anne Connolly, who stood up. But yeah, just a sad, sad day from Cork point of view. But that's not to take anything away from Waterford. They had an incredibly decent performance. The rumour mill is that during their team holiday, they told Davy that, look, it's too complicated, the game plans, we're not getting them, just let's simplify it and let's get back to hurling. And it certainly appears that has worked anyway. Seems to be about it, but we are going to go to everyone's favourite segment here on the GA, where it is the infamous player problems. And of course, we asked, should goalkeepers always stay in their goals? Now, to Instagram first, Podge Bond says, I think there's a place in general play for the keeper to hold possession, but not from kickouts. Peter Carroll says, keep them inside the 21 to fuck. Minty Fit says, yes, if you can't go to the keeper, better chance of turnovers. Mark Little says, yes, they are a goalkeeper. They keep the goal, meaning they should keep in goal. Thomas Gorey says, yes, they're goalkeepers for a reason. Paul Murta says, yes, just look at Cluxton. Very true. Lloyduff 17 says, fat ones should anyway. Test their body fat, then make the call. I'd say that's me staying back anyway, personally. Kieran Cavan then says, yes, put a rope in them and don't let them pass the 45. We also put it to our Facebook. Michael Deegan comes in strong here and says, if your goalie can run faster than a ball that's after being kicked up the field, then why not? But if your goalie is slow as fuck and takes a full moon cycle to get back in nets, then he might as well stay in his box. A few more here. Joe Swain says, when you see the farce last Sunday, of course they should. Jamie Lawler says, you don't need a rule change every poxy time someone tries something new, for fuck's sake. If they get caught out, that's on them. If they make it work, fair play. James Higgins says, no, they should be allowed to play anywhere. It's about risk-reward, and it's generally worked well for Derry, but they played against a team like Donegal who exposed it. I think Derry will persist with it, but if it goes wrong, they will just make stopping a goal a priority. Do we have some on Twitter here as well? Dermot Devlin says, no, let them come out if they can play. Stay between the posts if you can't. Do the job outfield, though. Derek Brosnan says, Galways have always been coming out of their goals, and shows an old photo there. Rory Kerr says, there's no need for a rule change. Christopher Thoman says, should they stay in goals? Absolutely. There should be no rule change, though. GA shouldn't have control on where a player can't go. That's up to sensible management / coaches. Aiden says, definitely no rule change here. If keeper is good and confident enough to partake in an attack, then that's fine as long as the goal is covered. Have to say, I would never encourage the keeper to come out for the opposition kick out, though. Yeah, that was bizarre. And the L22, no rule change required. The role has evolved with up to teams and how they apply it and manage the associated risks. Hart tried the same tactic with Loud, which worked to a degree in the league. However, Donegal are a different animal. Andy Gallagher says, let them out to an extra player if they're up for it. Simple. Peter O'Hare says, if you're not fit enough to get back, then yes. Just underscore says, you have to know your limitations. I've always thought that Oran Lynch looks awkward and slow when he comes out the pitch. Compared that to Eton Rafferty and Niall Morgan, who look more comfortable bringing the keeper up when the opposition keeper can hit your 45. is just dumb. Jarlubi says, why? Because a fly keeper got caught out big time at the weekend. Sorry, that's a risk the team and management take that can work to its advantage too. Risk and reward. It's a concept in many sports that adds to the spectacle. Not a matter for rule change for me. And what a good one to end it on. The full-time whistle has gone. Huge thanks to Garrod Hegarty and Adam Screeny for their time. And thanks a million to you for joining us once more here on the GAA Hour. Be sure to retweet, repost any of our content as it's so important to help us grow. Be sure to tell your friends about us as well. Throw us into the Out Club group chat. And give us an old 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. It has been a pleasure. We'll chat to you all next week.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.